What's up? It's your boys, Jordan and Abraham. As always, he's a professional runner, so he's your fast friend. And I'm an MD PhD student, so I'm your smart friend. But most importantly, we are your friends who read One Piece. Now, if you're listening to us on Spotify, please take a moment to rate us 5 stars. Feel free to reach out to us on our YouTube page at Friends Who Read One Piece or on Twitter at FWROP Pod. We look forward to hearing from all of you. Now, to all of our US listeners, we hope you had a great 4th of July. And,
Hey
we're
man,
on break this week.
you know how I celebrated my 4th of July this year, Abraham?
How?
By getting to 1,000 all-time downloads on this podcast.
Okay.
I did not tell these guys that we had just hit 1,000. We're at
Okay.
1,004 listens right now, and that is
Let's
a
go.
beautiful way to celebrate the 4th of July holiday. I'm sure he was like, "Why are you interrupting my read? You're the one who
Yeah.
always wants to put these freaking reads on, so we read up." 1,000 listeners, we did it. We did it. Or listen, we did
Applause
it.
to all of y'all. Thank you
Yeah.
so much. We also broke over 50 followers on Twitter for whatever that's worth. We're baby steps, baby steps. We're growing a little bit. We appreciate every single one of you guys. As I was about to say, though, we've got no break this week. So today, the plan is to make a couple more long-term predictions for the series, as well as bringing back some old segments like our S-class versus F-class theories. And so, Jordan, why don't you tell me one of your long-term predictions that you want to talk about for the series
One of
this
my
week?
long-term predictions, well, is one that we both share, you know,
Okay.
is one that we both share, talking about the potential of Jewelry Bonnie joining the crew. Now, you apparently believe that I had ripped on you or something for that a little while ago. I definitely have some qualms about the wordplay because I know at one point I had made the potential prediction that we were going to end up at the end of this arc with Bonnie getting Kuma's powers.
Yeah.
Which would actually then fulfill the wordplay. But it does seem like pretty much a foregone conclusion that Jewelry Bonnie is going to be part of the crew at the end of this arc. What do you think, Abraham?
100%. So in every arc, I think, since you could argue Dressrosa, but probably every arc since like Whole Cake Island, there's been a new character that people have been like, what if this person, like in Dressrosa, it was like, what if Rebecca joins the Straw Hats? What if, and then it was the then it was like, what if Carrot joins the Straw Hats? What if who was it
Vivi.
in Wano? What if Yamato joins the Straw Hats? Like, who, what did you say?
I said Vivi.
Vivi. If we're going way further back, right?
Yeah, it's all these princesses, etc., but go on.
But like, none of those characters outside of Vivi was written like the Straw Hats were when they're introduced. Like, let's go to even, so I think Brook is someone who Brook or Frankie are people who most people would consider to get like Straw Hats that have had the least development so far in their story, right? I don't know. I think that's probably Brook is probably who people think of, right? And when we meet Brook on Thriller Bark, Oda goes out of his way to give us his whole backstory, and like there's all this writing about him and Laboon, and he made him feel like an important character within that arc and gave him enough like depth where it was not surprising at all, I think, for most people when Brook inevitably joined the crew at the end of it, right?
And for what it's worth,
And
he had been saying for
yes.
about 400
Yeah.
chapters at that point that a musician was the next person he wanted. I'm pretty sure he
Yeah.
even wanted a musician before he wanted a navigator. So at the
That was
very
his
least,
first crewmate that he wanted. He was telling Kobe, he's like, I need a
I
musician. And
really
he's
was all
like,
the way back with
no.
Kobe.
He was like, you need a doctor, you need a navigator, you need like so many
Right.
things before you need a musician.
Bro, why you think you need all those things, bro? That's crazy. Man,
Yeah,
you gotta get off of that, bro. You
this
don't.
is what Kobe was
Bro,
telling
I'm
him,
just
not
telling
me.
you don't need all those things to find the one, so we can go on.
And Bonnie, though, was actually written like that. Like, granted, a lot of the backstory that we got was from Kuma's perspective, but this whole time during Whole Cake Island, Oda was giving us more and more reason to care about her as a character. And then I think the like cherry on top of the cake was when Vegapunk realized, when not realized, when Vegapunk revealed that she has the ability to control all of these all the pacifistas with
Right.
her voice, because he was basically like, you guys need to take Bonnie on your ship now, because she's an invaluable weapon that the world government is going to destroy if you guys don't protect her. And so I think at this point most people have come around to thinking that Bonnie will join the crew, but that was always my thought process. And you know, you're gonna laugh at me, but the person who really, really made me believe this was Morge, because he did put out videos pointing at how he thought Bonnie was gonna be the next Straw Hat, and like, you know, he was right. It looks like he will be right, I should say, about that.
I think there's a couple pieces that are interesting. Like one of the reasons to me that it seems like Bonnie has to eventually join the crew is what else is she going to do from this point in the story? One of the things that we see in the way Oda writes a lot of these characters is they don't go away. They kind of like keep finding their way back, finding places to end up being relevant, find up ways to, I mean, for God's sake, Buggy is one of the emperors of the seas right now, despite being this incredibly goofy, incredibly weak clown who we encountered all the way back towards the very beginning of the series. Someone like Bonnie, who clearly has much more relevance, who has a certain amount of connection to Kuma, to the revolutionaries, who are not where we are right now, to the Celestial Dragons and to things like the end game of the series, not to mention to Nico, which is what we're suddenly learning is a really important piece of the of what makes Luffy a part of the end game. It feels to me like if she doesn't end up going with the crew from this point forward, she would just end up sort of like floundering around or whatever. Either that, or I guess she could end up being picked up by the revolutionaries, but I don't necessarily understand how they're going to show up in Egghead and end up like picking up Bonnie. That also seems very against dragons. That seems very against dragons.
Absentee fatherism.
Exactly, because he is her father,
It's
and
it's
it's against her. It's against dragons' modus operandi. Thank you. You know, I appreciate that you were able to predict that I was getting to that I was finding my way to a dragon is Bonnie's dad, and Bonnie and Luffy are siblings or half siblings or whatever joke. Thank you.
welcome.
You know, so it definitely is not the kind of thing I would expect dragon to do. I do think the idea of what if she ends up with Kuma's devil fruit is interesting because once again, we don't have any actual. Well, yes, I am at the very least motivated in some way by the number theory and the fact that while with Nika it could be complete, it would also be kind of cool to me to actually see. It would be kind of cool to me to actually see her as the inheritor of Kuma's will in this way with
Can
the
you
kind.
explain the number thing real quick? Just because I feel like I get it, but like,
Yeah,
yeah.
of course. So basically, there's this thing called Japanese wordplay, goro-owase, which is kind of, it's sort of like mnemonic devices in English where you would like have something to remember something else. Or even, for example, if you were like you remembering like how to type on an old phone where you're typing like, you know, DEF is three, whatever, things like that. So whatever, so every single letter in the Japanese alphabet has a number associated with it. Every sound you can make has a number from the Japanese wordplay associated with it. And Oda references these often over the course of the SBS, the question corner in the tankobon, the manga volumes, where he talks about characters' birthdays, for example. So for example, like Luffy's birthday is like a wordplay for his devil fruit, for example. A lot of people's birthdays just have to do with some kind of like joke about either their power or, you know, any number of things. And if you take all of the wordplays for devil fruit characters for the devil for their devil fruits. So for example, Gomu, Go is five, and Mu, you know, long story short, Mu is basically six. You end up with like 56, right? Gomu. Like Hito is like 110. Hanahana is 8, 7. And if you look at that, all of them except for the one, except for the character, except for the ones that would correspond to 2, 9 or 9 and 2 are taken. And so The
I'm not interrupting you. Go,
no,
keep
but
going.
you're giving me like a, you're giving me a, I wish the readers could hear how silly you sound face.
Oh, they can hear you. They can absolutely can.
This is a very common thing in Japan, to be
I
clear.
got you.
The basically the only two char the only two numbers from 1 to 10 remaining are 2 and 9, and if you add all of them up, and you use it as 29 instead of 92, it ends up being 325, which is the wordplay for the sunny go, or like the going sun, whatever they call it in English, right? Like the going sunny.
An
It's like,
eagle.
yeah, sunny go. So like sunny go 325. It all adds up to that with 29. So for a long time, people have been speculating that the last, that Kuma, for example, or Kinemon, who both have 291s, would be the next character to join the crew. The whole Nika thing, Nika is also 2-9 and sort of just like a, oh, does that count? Like, that's kind of like a
Does
surprise.
that double dip? So does it count as both Gomu and Nika?
Exactly, right? So like that's kind of what people are wondering. Does it still count? It does fill those things, but like I don't know. Anyway,
Look.
that's basically looking for 2-9. Kuma's fruit would do it, and it would be kind of cool to see Bonnie get it. If she did and join the crew, it would fulfill the wordplay prophecy that those of us who
May,
use these for
may,
theories have
may or
been.
may not already be fulfilled. I got
Right.
you.
Yes,
Here's
exactly.
what I'll say about Bonnie and her long-term role in the crew, right? I've drawn the parallels on this show to Shanks on Roger's crew as his cabin boy. And I think part of the reason that was so integral is that Roger's will was inherited by Shanks, who then passed on that will to Luffy and so on, right? And if I'm thinking about this whole idea about inherited will, the person who seems set up to inherit Luffy's will in this story is not any of the current Straw Hats, but it would be a child like Bonnie, right? We even see in, I think, the latest chapter where he's like, you just need to be free, just be free, and you can do, you know what I mean? And it seems like Bonnie is being set up to be the person to inherit Luffy's will. And so I think that's going to be an important role that she plays in the story. I also do want to say that this is going to sound, I'm going to throw you a bone about your sibling stuff, because while there's no way that Luffy and Bonnie are siblings, because that's a ridiculous theory, there are similarities between their characters. I think that Bonnie is written to be similar on a lot of levels, personality-wise, to Luffy, right? And that's also why she's going to be the person to inherit his will. Now, that doesn't mean anything. Like Roger at
Half
Rod,
siblings,
Rod,
to be clear. Half
huh?
siblings. Half siblings.
They
Don't
wouldn't be half siblings either. Just like
get
I think Ace or
me
not Ace, Luffy and Roger were very similar personality-wise. Presumably, we don't actually probably know all that much about Roger's personality, but there was no actual blood connection between the two of them, right? So I don't know. That's how I feel about Bonnie.
It does make sense. I do feel like her fulfilling that role is going to be important, and it's going to be important. It's going to be, it feels like the kind of thing that does feel like within this sort of parallelism that we constantly have of there being cabin boys, of there being a crew who has these young people who are kind of mentors. What I do think would be interesting is the role Bonnie plays does feel different than the role that someone like Shanks or Buggy might have played. Although then again, we know Bonnie is someone who is the child of a celestial dragon, correct? And it
I believe
certainly
so,
seems
yeah.
that Shanks is also the child of a celestial dragon. So there really might be that seems to even be like a greater parallel than we might have even recognized with just them being the cabin person, the cabin boy, cabin girl on the ship. And it still makes me also wonder what the heck is up with Buggy and if he has any particularly interesting lineage. Like, I just feel like this dude has to have some kind of history. I wish there was like a hint about maybe he like lost his mind when he was a kid after watching something traumatic and ended up like wanting to be a clown. Like, I would love some kind of thing like that. But who knows? With One thing I do want to bring up with Bonnie, I know I was sort of hinting at earlier, is the devil fruit piece of it, right? Like, if she was able to inherit Kuma's devil fruit. So we're going down a really indirect, like, we're going down a big if type of conversation, right? Where it's incredibly hypothetical. But in this world, it does make me wonder. We saw Blackbeard. We know Blackbeard, for what we knew, did not have any devil fruit at the beginning of the story that we know of. He might have already had one, but that we know of. And we know he's since then gotten two devil fruits from the first time that we saw him in a flashback story. Do you think it's possible that he could have undergone some kind of scientific experiment in the same way that Bonnie did, that allows him to have some sort of, that is the kind of thing that changed his body, so he has some kind of devil fruit power that is not actually a devil fruit, and that's the core of what allows him to have both. In the same way, Bonnie doesn't actually, she never ate a devil fruit, she just has the factor from it.
I got you. No, I think that's actually a really cool possibility. It's definitely a possibility, and I think it's a cool theory. Me personally, I would believe I believe Blackbeard is it is always read to me as some kind of unnatural natural thing. You know what I mean? Like, he is unnatural, but not because of some kind of, maybe artificial manipulation or something like that. He just maybe it has something to do with his soul. Maybe it has something to do with whatever race he is. Like, but like that's just how it's always been, how it's read to me. Like, when Luffy and Zoro first see him back in not Gi in Mock Town, where they were like, they use they instead of him, and they're talking about, like, it seems like they're like, there's just something that's off. When you meet
Don't forget
someone and you're like,
Saturn. Don't forget Saturn saying as is his lineage or whatever.
sure, yeah. But it's when, like, you have you sometimes you meet someone and you're like, they're just off-putting a little bit. Like, there's something like that is just like, doesn't feel right, right? And so that to me reads doesn't read as some kind of artificial. It could be, like, I think there's definitely a possibility, but that's just not what I would expect going
It's one of the
forward.
things to me where I wonder if it would be possible for him to have both. We know, for example, that we've seen the world government experimenting with people for all these different crazy things, like Kaido, like King, Linarians, Onis, trying to, whether it's extract, we don't really know exactly. I think we assume there's some kind of like trying to extract some kind of lineage factor. Maybe they're working on some kind of like Noah's Ark to make sure they preserve all the different races before the great flooding or whatever, but I think it's possible that we could imagine Teach having been experimented on because of his lineage, or at the very least, having received some kind of power because of that. It would sure be interesting if we could figure out if there was a natural way for him to be the person he was, though.
I think that's a cool idea. We'll see. We'll see what the story has.
All right, well, I think it's time. That's enough for that. That's enough for those little predictions, what we think is coming in the future. But it's time to jump into, because we don't have a chapter this week, it's time for us to jump into S Class and F Class, the segment where we find theories on the internet and review them so you don't have to. Alex, what do we have for us today?
Absolutely. We got four theories to run through, and I'm going to jump around just a little bit from what we planned since we were just talking about Blackbeard and go to the theory that you brought from Euteron, Jordan. He was talking about the nature of Blackbeard's fruit. In One Piece cover stories and merchandise, Blackbeard is often drawn next to or as a hippo, in the same way Luffy is always drawn as a monkey. And we've got an example of this on chapter 996, where there's a hippo right next to Blackbeard. This theory suggests that the true nature of Blackbeard's fruit is the mythical Zoan Ushi-Ushi no Mi, the bulbul fruit, model Behemoth. Behemoth is a biblical land monster from the Old Testament, known for eating and drinking quite a bit, who will fight the sea god Leviathan, a giant serpent, at the end of time, and their battle will provide food for all. It's often portrayed as a hippopotamus, just like Blackbeard, and is known for large consumption and having a large belly. A fun fact, animals of this class have multiple stomachs, one of which is called Hachinosu in Japanese. Abraham, I am way on board with this theory, especially the bit about the Leviathan and the food for all. What are you picking up? What are you
So
thinking?
who is the Leviathan in this analogy? Is it Luffy or is it Imu, right? I feel like the suggestion is that it's Luffy, but yeah. How would you interpret that, Jordan? Because that's it's I think it's really cool.
So in that part of the theory, obviously, Uteron is not specifically like, here's exactly who I think is going to be each piece of this, but I think I look at it and see Imu as being the Leviathan, in particular because it is the sea god.
So it's I think the reason why I asked that is because I also when I'm hearing that, I interpret the Leviathan as the as Imu in the story,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
And
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like but we've talked about the possibility of Luffy and Blackbeard teaming up to fight Imu and all that other stuff. And maybe this isn't the whole picture, but like this almost like depicts Blackbeard as the main character in a sense, like that it's his destiny to take down Imu. You know what I mean? If we were to follow that through.
Once again, Blackbeard is part of the D Clan, and it is very clearly, I think, set up over the course of the story to be in direct conflict with Imu, with the world government, etc. Even when Katarina Devon is having that interaction with Saturn and said, "What is," and Saturn asks, "What does Blackbeard want?" And she says, "The world." It strikes me as very clear that if we're talking about a story in which Blackbeard is the protagonist, for example, he's the protagonist of his own story as we're telling it and as we're analyzing it from his perspective, he is someone who is destined at the very least to go up against the world government, against that giant serpent who is Imu, whether it's related to the red line. I know there have been theories about it being some kind of devil fruit. I think that seems unlikely. To be fair, we're also both off board with the Elder Stars having devil fruits. We both think they have some kind of more pure version. And in particular, as we begin to see the idea of endless energy and endless power being the kind of, and bringing like an energy source for everyone being the kind of, being one of the core aspirations that Vegapunk had over the course of his research, the fact that there's this biblical story that really resembles two of these main antagonists in the series, and having that fight result in something that's sort of like food for all, energy for all, seems
So
really cool to compare to the story.
here's the thing that I'll say though about the food for all stuff. I think that if there was, granted, if it's like a Luffy and Blackbeard versus Imu kind of thing, then maybe my perspective can change. But I don't think that there's any world right now where Luffy would fight alongside Blackbeard, unless Blackbeard undergoes some serious character development. So in my head, I'm almost like discounting that possibility until it happens. So in any world where Blackbeard and Imu fight one another, I think food for all almost sounds like, like it's like Luffy's dream. You know what I mean? Like he's straight up like, living in a world where no one goes hungry and blah blah. It doesn't seem like that would be the end result of a conflict between someone like Blackbeard and Imu, right? Like we have one hell that we're that the world is in under Imu's rule. And it almost feels like there would be another hell that the world would be in, right? The exact opposite, pure, unbridled chaos if we were under like Blackbeard's rule, right? So I think like the food for all thing is kind of throwing me off a little bit because that seems more of like a Luffy thing than a Blackbeard thing.
So the way it works is that when Leviathan is defeated, everyone's just gonna like eat Leviathan or something like that. So, for example, if Emu is defeated, whether that's from some version of Luffy defeating Emu, Blackbeard defeating Emu, some combination of the two of them working together, as you might hate, and defeating Emu.
Yeah.
It's that that's the end result of whatever's going to happen when that character, Leviathan, the character that that represents Leviathan is defeated. So I think at the very least, that part can be taken, whether or not it's exactly following how this is set up. I think that as we also begin to see more of this Jewish mythology pop up, we're seeing Emmet, we're seeing something that represents a golem. And so I'm really interested to figure out too, I actually did some research and wasn't able to find anything in particular about how golem actually interacts with these sorts of things, but there's definitely some amount of, I don't think that it has to exactly parallel what happens in the Book of Job for us to be able to draw inspiration from it. And I think certainly the idea that Blackbeard's original fruit that he might have eaten way back being the bulbul fruit or being the Ushiushu no Mi model behemoth is a pretty cool version of that. Or at the very least, something that very much resembles behemoth in the way that Nika very much resembles, you know, the monkey god of Chinese mythology.
Sure. No, I'll give, you know, I haven't given him my rating yet. I'll say it's definitely an S-class theory. I think it's got a lot going for it. I'm not averse to Luffy and Blackbeard fighting together alongside one another at some point, but just like I was saying about the whole Akainu change of heart thing or whatever, like that we were talking about last episode or the one before that, there would have to be a whole lot of character development work done for me to accept that.
And, same enemy, bro. Same enemy.
Huh?
No, but it's not.
I think Luffy doesn't have a reason to hate Emu right now, right? Luffy doesn't. We've never seen him fight throughout the story just because it's like he's the hero of the story. He's said, quote unquote, I don't want to be the hero. Heroes are the people who share their food. I want all the... He fights because he has a personal connection to all of these different people in these different islands, right? And he has no personal connection to Emu, really. The person he has a connection with is Blackbeard. Blackbeard is ultimately the person responsible for Ace's death. And that's the lowest point of his life, right? So I, like I said, I don't really see it happening unless we get a bunch of character development for Blackbeard in the story. And if that does happen, then I'll be on board.
Hey, but it's still an S-class theory. And you know what else is an S-class
for sure?
Is me bringing my rabbi for us to go deep into this Jewish learning and learn about Behemoth, Leviathan, Golem.
Oh my God.
We're gonna learn about One Piece. We're gonna go deep. It's going to be very Jewish. It's going to be very fun. I cannot wait for it. Alex was next.
All right. So Doc Sake put out a video discussing the meaning behind the Will of D, which I think there's been a lot of conversation around recently. He believes that the D clan members are descendants of Joy Boy's original crew. And that the D stems from a person, not a quote-unquote dream or the quote-unquote dawn. And that person is none other than Davy Jones. There's been a lot of speculation around why Zunisha and Emmett have apologized to Joy Boy. And Doc Sake believes that this is due to the loss of a Davy backfight prior to the Void Century. I think there's some gaps in the details around the original Davy backfight. But one thing I really like about this theory is that it may explain why Nefertari D. Lily, one of the 20 monarchs credited with founding the world government, has a D in her name and did not take on the world noble title. Jordan, what do you think about the Will of Davy and a Davy backfight kicking off the Void Century?
I want to start by saying I really do like the idea of historical Davy backfights in the series. I think as it being a concept that was introduced for seemingly no reason, for an entire arc of being a total gag, it just feels kind of ridiculous that it would be not important in some kind of significant way. Whether or not I believe that that's going to happen in Elbaf in a fight with Shanks' crew in the next arc is entirely besides the point. I really like this idea of it actually beginning with Davy Jones, who I do believe the Foxy Pirates actually did mention over the course of that arc.
Yep.
However, I do want a little bit more detail in this theory about who Davy Jones is and exactly why Davy Jones was the core of this, and exactly what role Davy Jones played in creating this fight, this type of fight that might have given that explanation, that might give that explanation for why Lily ended up leaving the World Nobles. So I'm on the fence. I would say I want a little bit more detail on that, about who Davy Jones is, because otherwise it's just suggesting that there's this kind of fight that has been there the whole time, and we're just suggesting that Nefertari D. Lily did like left the crew because of a Davy. It's a little bit too muddled for me. So I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
Can you convince me that it's an S plus theory, Abraham?
Yeah, so I'll say this. Oda has definitely drawn inspiration from real life pirates, right? Like real pirate. We talked about the Lafitte stuff. Obviously, Blackbeard was a real pirate. Like throughout his story, we've seen him be inspired by that, right? And I think, you know, if you think of real life pirates and pirate stories, Davy Jones is probably the first, maybe the second person that I personally would think of. Blackbeard might be the only person that I think of beforehand, right? So I think it could be as simple as that. We do know also that Oda's talked about, you know, a pirate with an eye patch eventually being revealed. I don't know if that's going to be like an alive character, in which case it probably wouldn't be someone like Davy Jones, but maybe we get a flashback and like this is like the pirate with the eye patch that Oda has been talking about in like SBSs and whatnot. I don't know about all that. The Will of Davy stuff is something really new to me. I would be surprised if the Will of D stood for the Will of Davy. I personally, like, I love the idea that the D stands for stuff like the Dawn, right? Because that's what we know Luffy and a lot of the other D members symbolize. I'm not saying that Daksake is wrong with this, but I think the Will of D part is probably a little bit weaker for a weaker part of the theory. As for the Davy back fight, though, I mean, it's a point that I've been trying to make for a while now, is that we know that this Davy back fight, while it was introduced in a kind of gag arc with the Foxy Pirates, it does have historical significance, right? It was a game that we're told is created on Hachinosu Island. It was created by Davy Jones, or, you know, its creation is related to Davy Jones as well. It's a historical pirate game that has been played over the centuries. To me, I think it's really analogous to something like Daksake, like the song, not Bink Sake, the song, and how, you know, Brooke points out, like, you know, this is a song that's been sung by pirate crews for generations. It seems to be rooted in the history of piracy, personally, this whole idea of the Davy back fight. It's a big part of the reason why I love that this Davy back fight theory on Elbaf kind of thing, but it's also a reason why I enjoy the idea of this having historical precedent as well. So I personally think it's an S-class theory, but I do think the whole Will of Davy stuff is pure speculation, and it's not something really that I can get behind. But it's a brave theory, and it's unique.
You know, I appreciate you, but you ended up convincing me, unfortunately, that it's an F-class theory, because the Will of Davy is at the core of this theory, and I just don't get enough about who Davy Jones is to feel like this theory is
fair.
Brought together, and why exactly Davy Jones was able to actually create this kind of fight. So I appreciate that you made an F-class. That's an F-class.
Let me jump in with two things. The first one, I think, is that this is relying on some other theories around Davy Jones, that maybe Davy Jones was an island whale, even though Oda, I think, has drawn
Ooh, Davy island Jones. Whale. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And the other thing.
Oh, where's that One Piece? Island whale underwater.
I know. You love the underwater theories, Jordan,
I
for
do.
Sure. But the other thing I want you to maybe quickly respond to is the fact that all of the D name holders are potential descendants of Joy Boy's crew, and that's where that lineage comes from.
I'm into that idea. I just don't think the theory actually makes it specific enough or does enough with that exact idea to help me understand why that person being Davy Jones is actually important. So like I'm into the whole idea. Yeah, it could descend from a person. That person could be Davy Jones, but you got to give me a little bit more about here's who Davy Jones is, and here's why that lineage coming from them is particularly important. I also think that given the last few chapters in Vegapunk's reveal, I think this theory is less likely to be true than if it was, or at the very least, it's less interesting or less plausible than it was maybe a month ago.
So for me, I think it's definitely a possibility that the members of the D clan are all descendants from Joy Boy's crew. I don't think that's the most likely thing. If you ask me what I thought was most likely, it would be that again, this idea of inherited will is more philosophical than it is like blood lineage related, right? Like you don't need to be blood related to someone to inherit that will. And I mean, so to me, I love the idea that across all of these races, across all of these individuals around the world, that it's more of like a shared philosophy than it is any kind of shared lineage that like unites all of these members of the D clan. So it's definitely it's it would be something that would maybe be cool to see if Oda wrote that into his story, but that's not what I would personally prefer to see and what I think is most likely.
Alex, what's next?
We got a Mr. Morge theory, the goat, obviously, according to Abraham.
Bro,
Yeah.
real
Oh, you
goat,
didn't
bro.
need to.
We had a theory from the real goat earlier, but go on.
The goat.
I think we need at some point to have just a breakdown where you both argue your case for Uteron versus Morge.
We've
But
talked
in
about doing a
the
YouTuber one for ages.
nice. Tier list, right? Got to get
Yeah,
O'Hara and Gremlin
exactly.
Review. There's a lot of good guys out there. So the Morge theory speculates that the difference between Joy Boy and Luffy will come down to the competency of their crews. Morge points out that the regret expressed by characters such as Emeth and Zunisha also draws a parallel to the story of Odin's scabbards. While his scabbards were supposed to be the ones to protect Odin, as we saw in Wano, Odin ended up sacrificing himself for his retainers. On the other hand, we've seen throughout the story the importance that Luffy's crew has had on his journey. Morge predicts that the reason Luffy will succeed where Joy Boy failed will come down to the capabilities of the Straw Hat Pirates. Jordan, what do you think?
I think this is an interesting analysis of parallelism between both the Joy Boy Pirates and what we see with Luffy, between what we see with the Scabbards and what we see with Odin. I think just even over the course of some of the enemies we've seen, like one of the pieces that we understand makes a lot of these crews weaker than the Straw Hats is that their bond is not actually strong enough. They're not able to operate in the same way. Sort of like that was the whole theme of that Davy back fight and some of the ensuing conflicts. Like the crew who had lost after the Davy back fight, it's like they didn't know who was supposed to navigate. They didn't know who was supposed to do whatever. And that's why you saw that crew that was completely defeated as our crew went over to Longland. However, I need this theory to have a little bit more specificity. It's a little bit too loose with it. Now, if there was some kind of interesting addendum to exactly how that might play out, then I could maybe give this an S-class theory. But I think that we're missing a little bit of specificity in just this idea of, oh, Luffy will succeed because his crew is better. That's not an interesting enough theory to me, even if you can point out the analysis that underlies it. That's more of just an analysis video to me than an interesting theory. That's why it's an F class.
I disagree. I think this is clearly an S-class theory. And I think it comes down to the difference in how, honestly, in how we value theories. I hate it. I really, really dislike it when people just speculate things because they're just like, this is what I think. You know, it's like that there's a place for that in content creation and all of that other stuff. And they can be like fun ideas to consume. But I think the reason why I love Morge and his content is that he goes through the story and he's like, let me look at the narratives that are being written, the story that is being told by Oda, and try and use that to predict what is going to happen in the future. And you can say that's analysis, but I would argue that, I mean, I think anyone who's a science, like, analysis is part of the theory, right? If you're not putting in analysis in order to develop your theory, then it's just like speculation, right? So the reason why I love this theory in particular is because we see throughout the story that one of the first things Luffy says about himself on Arlong Park is like, there's all of these things that I can do, I cannot do. I can't lie, I can't cook, I can't use a sword, all of these other things. That's why I have all of these different crewmates that I've accrued that can do things that I'm unable to do. Or when we see Luffy at his lowest point after Marineford, the thing that ultimately brings him back and anchors him and gives him the strength to continue his journey is the idea that he still has his gym boy points on you. What do you still have? He's like, I still have my friends, right? And then we do get stories like the scabbards on Elbaf, where they are, I think, pretty clearly written to be to parallel the Straw Hats, but like as like a failed Straw Hat crew, a crew that was not strong enough to support their captain's ambition and whatnot. So there's other examples I can go throughout the story, like of the Straw Hats and
Well,
them displaying their confidence.
I'm entirely with you on the idea that there's a lot of interesting like parallelism between this being important and a lot of interesting thematic continuity that would make this a very thematically consistent outcome. But I want to help you understand my rubric because I've talked about it a little
I
bit
got you.
before, and I think I've gotten some of it. You know, I'm judging theories not just by how plausible or how thematically consistent they are or whatever. But some part of it is about plausibility. Do I think it's could happen, might happen? This one seems very reasonable. Some part of it is about how interesting is it. So, for example, when you bring up a Mihawk is actually Kuina theory, I read that theory and it makes me laugh. So at the very least, that's like highly interesting. And you gave me just enough plausibility to make me think about it to get over the ledge, even though obviously Mihawk is not Kuina. You gave me just enough for it to be plausibility. And the last one is courage. So exactly how far can you take the theory while still maintaining some amount of the plausibility and interestingness? I
Sure.
think this Morge theory is lacking in some of the courage because it's simply suggesting that this thematic thing will be true. And I think it's lacking a little bit in interestingness for me because there's not enough specificity of exactly how Luffy succeeding is going to look differently from
That's
Jewelry.
why I said I think the difference in our evaluation comes down to how we think about theories, right? Like that's what I said at the start, right? But to me, this is extreme, like maybe it's just because I'm not great at seeing these kinds of things with until it's pointed out to me. But having like I would not have connected the Straw Hats and the scabbards to one another without that being pointed out to me personally. Maybe you would have, but it's just so when someone is able to make a video where they're like, hey, look at what's been written in the story and look at how this can all be these things can all be connected to what that is so interesting to me.
That's a good analysis. It's not necessarily an interesting theory, but can we go to like what might make this theory interesting? Because we're still gonna be in the same
We can. I
like
just want to say this is an S-class theory. But we can move on to the next one.
there might be someone who has come up with a way to kind of take this analysis and be inspired by it and turn it into a much more interesting and courageous theory. Someone might have done that. Alex, can you help us out?
Yeah, our next theory is from the Gloat, our very own Jordan Mann.
Yeah. He called me the gloat.
Yeah. This is definitely inspired
Is
by this
the L?
Morge. Well, okay, there
It's like
it's
it's
just
kind of like we called Morge the goat, and I just gloat all
yeah,
the time.
Oh, I
exactly.
thought it was like the
It's not
greatest loser
an
of all time.
acronym. No, that was a thing, but I'm just using it as
Hey,
the
listen,
word. Anyway.
I almost asked you what grades you got in English class when you're talking about I need someone to point all this out to me. So yeah, I was being very nice before you called me a loser.
Oh, all right. Let's jump in. Let's jump in.
Yeah.
So Jordan is theorizing that Emu was not just a member of Joy Boy's crew, but the Usopp of Joy Boy's crew, a coward who betrayed the Joy Boy pirates at a critical juncture because he was scared that the key difference between the Straw Hats and Joy Boy's pirates. Sorry, I'm losing the thread here.
You missed the word and. He was scared and.
Oh, and
Yeah,
that's the key difference between the Straw Hats and Joy Boy's pirates will be that Usopp overcomes his fear, which is a wild take from you, Jordan. No, it's not that wild.
I thought you might
Perhaps
like
that
that.
I do like that quite a bit. But just to hop back in, Usopp is gonna, at a cost to himself, overcome his fear for the sake of the Straw Hats and maybe the world where Emu failed. Abraham, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so this was actually something that came up during Wano when we started to get this idea that there was an informant. We didn't really know about Kanjuro at the time. It hadn't been revealed yet. And there's a whole side conversation that Usopp and Nami have where Usopp's like, if you got captured by the enemy, would you spill the beans? And he's like asking Nami, and he's like, man, I would snitch so quickly. I would give them all this information so quickly. And people actually speculated that I remember people putting videos out where they're like, Usopp is going to get captured at some point, and it's going to be a big character moment for him. They were thinking this would happen during Wano, and that he, even though he's saying that he would spill the beans, that he wouldn't, right? Ultimately, Wano resolves. Wano concluded without resolving a lot of the storylines that people thought would get resolved, but that's fine. So I say all that to say that I loved that theory back then, and I love it now. I don't know if we have enough. What's the word that you use for the Davy? Like, we have enough to go and say, Emu was a part of Joy Boy's crew. Like, that obviously is just speculation, but like, we there's no reason to necessarily not buy that at this point, right? I would love that kind of character moment from Usopp personally. It would it's I would call that an S-class theory.
And I would actually love that kind of character moment from Usopp as well. And thank you for giving that an S-class theory. I think that for me, it would honestly forgive not all of it because I've been having to deal with him being annoying for too many years, but it would definitely forgive some of the lack of courage that I think we've seen from him over the last however many chapters. I think the Emu being part of Joy Boy's crew and betraying him was something that we had brought up in an S class versus F class some number of weeks ago. And I think that this idea of, who is likely to be that weakest link that we talk about in the Morge video? Who is likely to be the person that was the weak link in? Obviously, it sounds like Joy Boy's crew had some kind of weak link where everyone's apologizing. Who is likely to be that weak link today? And the answer, just like you're saying, is Usopp.
Yeah.
So if he's actually put in that situation where he has to choose to become a brave warrior of the sea, he can either go on and become someone who allies himself with Emu, allies himself with the Celestial Dragons, who maybe are the ones who have him captured and are offering him some kind of place atop the world. For him to actually overcome that, it would be an awesome character moment. It would be awesome in terms of creating some kind of parallel with what the story of Joy Boy might be or would be in the
Yeah.
situation that Morge presents, and I think it would be awesome. So obviously I made it up, but I think it's an S-class theory, man. I almost misspoke.
Yeah. I mean, again, we disagree on Usopp's courageousness, but he definitely it would be an amazing character moment for him to get. And I think the Straw Hats we haven't gotten enough from the Straw Hats in general in the New World about character development. So I would be on board with stuff like that. I think that's it for theories today, right? I think that's all we just. Okay. So, Alex, why don't you take us to the final round of the crew draft?
I know. I think you've both been anticipating the great conversation that's going to come from this final pick. But just to give everyone a refresher of the rules, this is week 5 of the crew draft. We've been alternating between Abraham picking first and Jordan picking first, with the goal of constructing a crew of 5 pirates that is more likely to reach Laugh Tale. Each week, they've picked a pirate and a crew that pirate's been a part of. Once a crew has been named, it is then off limits for the rest of the draft. So far, Abraham has picked up Robin from the Straw Hats, Mihawk from Cross Guild, Big Mom from her own pirates, and Law from the Heart Pirates, whereas Jordan has got Shanks from the Red Hair Pirates, Whitebeard from his own pirates, Boa Hancock from the Kuja Pirates, and Aokiji from the Blackbeard Pirates. Abraham, this last pick is going to you. I think it's going to be some great discussion after we round this out.
Yeah. So I had mentioned to both of you guys, I was actually going back and forth between two characters. And the two that I was going back and forth between, I could just say, were Jinbei and Kaido. And so Kaido is just like, he's obviously by far the strongest character that's on the board that hasn't been picked yet. And, you know, I do have a lot of the functional things that I need in my crew already kind of fleshed out. I've got a doctor. I've got someone with some navigational skills in Mihawk and whatnot. So I was like, I might be able to fit Kaido onto my crew and we'll be strong as hell. But he didn't fit the idea that I was trying to build with my crew the same way that Jinbei does. Because as the help, like getting through the Grand Line, you have to deal with all these wild weather conditions and storms and all of these other things. And we already saw at the end of Whole Cake Island how valuable Jinbei is as a helmsman. We saw in Arlong Park how the fishmen themselves would do stuff like create whirlpools and alternate currents in order to fuck with other people's ships and whatnot. And, you know, so at the end of the day, I think I have to go with Jinbei, because not only is he a strong fighter, he's a former warlord of the sea. He would be invaluable as a helmsman. And yeah, so that's it. And obviously, I can't take him as part of the Straw Hats because I took Robin as part of the Straw Hats. But fortunately, Jinbei was also a part of the Sun Pirates. So I will take Jinbei from the Sun Pirates.
Okay, I was wondering exactly how that rule worked out, because I was sitting here saying, I feel like Straw Hats are entirely off limits.
No. I clarified. I mean, a month ago.
Don't get me wrong. The way I compose my crew, like, you should have chose Kaido, so I don't even, right? Why? Like bro, because we just gonna run up on you, bro.
You won't catch us. You can't catch us. You don't know how to sail a ship.
Aye, Abraham. So, in One Piece, what characters have we seen destroy, like, be able to kill a Sea King? Would you agree that's a feat of substantial power?
I mean, we saw Mont Blanc, Noland do it.
Man, how you do that? How the first person you just said, man, that's what I'm taking, bro. I needed you to say all these other things.
No, I mean, I wouldn't hype him up that much.
Bro, I'm taking Mont Blanc Noland, man. I'm taking Noland. Let me be clear. First,
is he a pirate?
Yeah. Was he not? I thought he was.
I don't know. I don't remember.
I mean,
Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, now I'm like, well, I guess he did sail with the king afterwards. So that does.
Yeah, make that's what I'm saying.
But I was like, that's a pretty good feat of like sailing and being a doctor in science or whatever. So.
Oh, he was definitely a doctor, but I don't think he was a pirate.
I think he's an explorer, botanist, admiral. He is not a pirate.
Bro, listen, man. Listen, so these rules are very, you know, it's all these details. You know,
What?
we got all these details. Abraham out here thinking of all his ahead of time. And
Man.
now I get told that my character is not a pirate. And I didn't have like five backups. I wasn't thinking about like five different people.
Why did you come here picking a non-pirate? That was the first thing I said when you brought him up. I was like, I don't think he's a
Bro,
pirate.
I forgot that that was part of the rules, bro.
What? We're building a pirate crew.
You know, hey, you know, like, you know, it's like in a different world. You know, Zoro used to be a bounty hunter. At some point, he eventually became a pirate. Well, you know, I guess that, you know, that leaves me with a lot of questions. You know, don't get me wrong. I still think I'm perfectly fine getting around the ocean, right? We saw Shanks go back and forth between Wano and Marineford in like one day.
When
We
it's
know
true,
the
when
Kuja
it's true.
pirates. We know the Kuja pirates are able to get around because
With her crew.
nice. She tamed those things, bro. She tamed the things that are dragging them around. You telling me this crew can't figure it out, bro? Get out of here.
Hey, who's your fifth pick? Because you can't take Nolan.
I'm like, what pirate crews are left right now? Let's see. We got Kaido's pirates.
Yeah.
We got, I guess I can't take
Kid
anyone
pirates.
from I can't the who?
Kid pirates.
Oh man, we're not taking the kid pirates, man. They soft, bro. They got one shot by Shanks, bro. I think we got any other pirate crews that I'm forgetting about?
I mean, there's all the pirate crews in the under the Grand Fleet, like the new giant
Yeah,
pirates. You could
man.
go
Yeah,
with
you know what? You know,
the
bro.
OG giant pirates, like
Bro,
Dory and Brogy's crew.
my crew is just. I did think about Dory and Braggy. Now, I was about to be like, I'm just gonna take Chin Zhao because I think we're gonna run up on you anyway. But
Yeah.
that's okay. You know, I'm gonna take Chin Zhao because we're just gonna run up on you anyway, bro.
Bro, get
Bro,
bloodied. Get wrecked. Oh my God. I
Listen, man,
can't believe you.
I had a really good idea, and now I'm just gonna go
You
out
did.
here and say,
Hey, let me tell you something. If Nolan had been a pirate, that would have been a phenomenal pick for you because he's an explorer.
that
He's a
wasn't your
doctor. He's
pick, right?
legitimately a doctor. He cured that disease amongst all the Shandians. Unfortunately, he's not a pirate.
Yeah, that's true. And the problem is, I just don't even like Queen. Like, I obviously could choose
Queen is
him,
lame.
but Queen is just completely lame. Like, I know you're out here trying to figure. Oh, you know. Oh no, I can't take Marco. I already took. I'm like,
Yeah.
man. You know what? Screw it, man. I'm just gonna
Marco
go.
would have already been taken if you hadn't taken Whitebeard. Don't worry. I would have taken Marco. I wouldn't have taken
You know what, man? I'll just go ahead and rock with we'll just rock with Chin Zhao, man. I'm good. I'm good.
Just to mess with you a little bit, Jordan, I'm going to read his bio. Qin Zhao, formerly known as Don Qin Zhao and Qin Zhao the Drill, is a former pirate.
Oh, come on. No, come on.
That counts. No, he's good. He's
Former
good. He's
pirate
good.
to be fair, I'm definitely not choosing him
Yeah.
because I actually think he's like strong and like the guy to be choosing. But I'm choosing him because I think it's funny and because I think that my pirate crew is still already ready to just like run up on Abraham. So I gotta give some amount of mercy.
Oh man, okay. Alex, why don't you give us a can you summarize the cruise for us real quick?
Yeah, you got Robin, a navigator, Mihawk, someone who's sailed the seas, wields the sword pretty well. Big Mom, leader of her own crew, Law, a doctor, Jinbei, great fighter in his own right, and a helmsman. Jordan's got Shanks, very strong gentleman. Whitebeard, also a very strong gentleman. Boa Hancock, incredibly strong. Aokiji, very strong. And Chin Zhao, who, is kind of a side character in Dressrosa, but yeah. I think the thing to do here is just to give each of you 30 seconds to state your case. Let me get a timer. And I think, Abraham, I'm going to kick it off to you first.
Okay. Let me go.
Go ahead.
All right. So my case is that I'm building a crew to get to Laugh Tale. So one, I need someone who can interpret the poneglyphs because that's key to getting there. So we've got Robin. I need a doctor to keep us from getting sick along the way. And Law is an amazing doctor. I've got the best helmsman on the sea in Jinbei. I've got someone who has clearly shown navigational skills in Mihawk. And most importantly, all of my crewmates have hands. Mihawk, greatest swordsman in the sea. Big Mom is literally a warlord. That's my and then everyone else can fight too. That's my case.
But let me be clear about this. My crew can get around the sea. We've seen Aokiji navigate by himself. We know Hancock is out here navigating these snakes that are running them around. Chin Zhao doing stuff, man. He just helping out, being there. You know he can eat, so he can help feed everyone because he's a big old boy. But I don't understand. My crew is at least they're people who can get along. They're good people. You have a hot-tempered Big Mom on your crew. She's not gonna be able to eat. She's gonna be in hunger pangs, and she's gonna be out here eating that. You should have took Struzan.
Man, Jordan, you went way over time, bro.
Yeah, but I got to the end of what I really needed to say, and then I was like, let me just keep harping on Big Mom. I didn't add any new points. I didn't add any new
Oh
points.
man. Hey, let me just say, Big Mom's not gonna be a bigger problem than Boa. That's all I gotta say.
Nah, man, Boa, she's gonna be like, oh, you like Luffy Shanks? Like, we cool.
All
Plus,
right.
we saw Big Mom lost to Law and Kid. And then we saw Shanks just run up on Kid. Boom. Like, bro, the
We
strain
are
is
gonna let
not
the
happening.
people, we're gonna let the people decide. We're gonna put a poll on our Twitter. Hopefully we can get a poll on our YouTube as well, link to our YouTube as well. Please, guys, show us, come out and vote. Let us know who you guys think built a crew that is most likely to get to Laugh Tale. And yeah, you guys have heard our justifications. Starting next week, we will be building our ultimate male harem.
Male harem.
And it's going to be crazy.
We're gonna have some expert judges coming on to give their opinions on the harems that me and Abraham bring together. So, yeah, you definitely don't want to miss those.
Okay. Jordan, you're going to a wedding, right? It's pretty soon.
Yeah, man, it's time to man, I thought I we had a hilarious read for Alex to introduce this one, man. I am going
Oh,
to a wedding.
okay.
I'll jump in and just get on this real fast. Yeah, Jordan, in your always happening love life, you told us recently you met someone just after you had left St. Louis and spent a weekend with her in Chicago. Now it sounds like you're going back to her sister's wedding as a plus one. Did you pack your nicest sweatpants?
I had no idea that you guys planned to say that. It's my fault. I should pay more attention to the pre-show document.
You gotta read the pre, bro, because we took that when we were doing the pre. He said that, and I was like, we gotta put that in the read, man. And it's funny because just this morning, as I was, you see, I'm wearing this lovely Hawaiian shirt that I got from my grandfather, my passed away grandfather, who's dead.
That is what passed away means.
And that's because I was about to just rock up in my normal outfit, i.e., sweatpants and like a graphic tee or something like that. And she texted me being like, hey, the wedding, just so you know, the wedding, the rehearsal dinner is tonight. So, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, but maybe not sweatpants. So look at me. I am still packing my nicest sweatpants for Monday or whatever when I travel back. But I'll be traveling with my balls tightly and like these jeans, unfortunately. You know how it goes, man. It's in the jeans, it's just in the sweatpants, they breathe in freely. In the jeans, it's
You can just get better fitting jeans. You don't need
they're
that. They've got all kinds of fabric now that are like more of jeans, but elastic. You don't need to struggle like that.
I don't wear jeans
I have a
enough
I
to
have a
die in
question.
jeans. Go for it.
Yeah. One, how did you go from a fling, like a weekend fling, to going to a marriage in, or not a marriage, a wedding
in 1 weekend? What happened between you two?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like it was like a very nice 3 days. We like hung out every day. I mean, I was seeing other friends and family in the evening, things like that. But we would like hang out for a while during the day. And it was honestly like very fun, very sweet. Like the vibe was off the charts. So I was having a great time. Is this a
Tinder match or something?
I'll explain that later. The vibe was off the charts. And it was honestly like very fun and like very cool and really awesome. And so but the thing is, she lives in Hiroshima, actually. She's actually not Japanese, but she lives in Hiroshima, and she's going back in like a week's time. And so she was kind of like, man, it's too bad you're leaving. It would have been great if you could have extended your trip a little bit. I was like, I actually did have to get back for something. We were tabling for our Black Nerd group, doing the doing some of the, you know, comic reading and stuff we do, service project. So I was like, let me just look into flights the next weekend. She was like, well, it's my sister's wedding. Let me see if you can come. And next thing you know, I'm actually going to her wedding. So honestly, pretty stoked. I think like in some ways it's going to be a little bit nerve wracking, but in other ways it's going to be very fun. And I'm like, dang, if you already like me this much, just wait till you see me on the dance floor.
How did you meet her?
We'll get into that after the show.
Oh my god, okay. That's a story. You told us your sweatpants story last week, and Julia was kind of just like eating breakfast and overheard it. Julia is my girlfriend, and she told me, like, when we were driving somewhere, she was just like, what the fuck is wrong with Julian? It's like, what do you mean, what's wrong with it? Like, if he showed up on a date in sweatpants, I would be like, never see this guy again. She's like that. She was appalled by what you said about the sweatpants.
I'm just like, tell that to all the girls I've been on dates with that have seen me a number of times and have been very happy to see me. Listen, now they're not, you know, they're tapered sweatpants. It's like an athletic look, athletic vibe I got going on, right? It's like, oh, this guy like exercises and that's what he's got going on. But listen, I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of these women who say they have this moral thing and they go on a good date with a dude who might just happen to be wearing some nice tapered sweatpants. And it's like, you know, honestly, he looks like an athlete. I had a really good time. Obviously, I will never have the opportunity to go on a date with Julia. But I think a lot of people moralize about these kinds of things, but I am doing perfectly fine despite being someone who you might not see me in jeans until 5 dates.
I was actually defending your I was trying to explain to her why you know you make the decisions that you do, and for her, I will say it wasn't like a morality thing. She was just like how you said.
Bro, she said appalled. She said appalled.
yeah, but like, you know, I might have used the word appalled. I don't know if she necessarily used the word appalled, but that was the sentiment. You know what I mean? Her feeling was, if someone shows up on the first date dressed like that, it means that they're not taking it seriously. And if they're not taking any of this seriously now, that's probably a sign that they're not going to take things seriously in the future. And I'm not going to waste my time. I was like, that's fair. I said,
hardcore, go on. Yeah.
I said, you're not wrong for feeling that way. Cause I feel like I would actually probably feel closer. Like I would probably be somewhere in between you guys, in terms of how strongly I would feel about that.
Right.
On a first date, you're like, this is how I would present myself would be more like her, right? I would try and look nice for a first date because I know it's a first impression and you only have one shot at a first impression. But
I mean, like I wear like my favorite, you know, crew neck with.
But at the same time, I did try and argue for her. I was like, you know, the reason why he goes dressed like that is because he's trying to show this person that this is what I normally look like. This is who I normally am. I'm not trying to make myself seem like something I'm not. So I was like, you know, it's not like he's showing up dressed like that because he's not excited about the date. It's for other reasons. But like, you don't really get, you know, if you don't have that conversation, the two of you guys are going to be on different pages. And like that's just how the cookie's gonna crumble.
That's true. And again, it's not like I'm showing up like a bum either, but it's the complete thing where, you know, if she's someone who's gonna be nagging me all the time to be wearing nicer clothes, like through the course of all the time we're hanging out, like that's gonna be a problem. And it's like, if you are gonna be like, we can self-select early on, right? And if a woman showed up in sweatpants, I would be like, dang, you might be my future wife. But I told you, the black Jewish woman who I went out with in Providence, she showed up in sweatpants too. And I was like, dang, I might be in love. like you think it was her being black and Jewish? Nah, it was she showed up in sweatpants.
Man. Let me tell you what I'm saying. I don't think either of you guys were wrong. You just like different.
That's true. It's true. Man, that I mean, I'm very excited about this thing upcoming. That made me think about the black Jewish. I'm like, dang. let me say one more thing before we hop about this wedding. So we're supposed to wear all black, and I was like, is gray okay? She's like, is it a charcoal? I was like, no, it's like all gray. Like, I don't have a black suit. And then I started thinking about where I might have a black outfit, and I start going to my phone and looking at all the old cosplay pics. And I look to my Demon Slayer I look to my Demon Slayer cosplay from 2018 or 19 or something like that, when I went in Chicago with Jimmy. And I was like, this does have, it had belt buckles. So I went down under my bed, got the black, it's an Alfani black dress up shirt and the slacks that I have from that. And I'm wearing my Demon Slayer cosplay shirt and slacks to this wedding.
Were you Muzan or something?
I was a Giyu.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But you still hilarious. Have to have a black shirt, you know. Like we try and do it like more grounded, so it's not just like exact, but more like I wore a white shirt under a black shirt. It was honestly pretty cool.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But with that fashion tip from me for all of our listeners, that's all we have for time. Thank you, Alex, your friend who produced this podcast, for helping out behind the scenes. Come back next Sunday to hear what we've got to say about chapter 1120. We're back from break. Let's go. In the meantime, we are your friends who read One Piece. Oh, and for the men's harem. We're excited about that. Come back for the men's harem, too. We are your friends who read One Piece. Help us get more friends by liking, rating, reviewing us wherever you get your podcasts, on YouTube at Friends Who Read One Piece, and on Twitter at FWROP Pod. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Peace.